Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Here's another reason for you. Come forward, protect yourself, your friends, your coworkers, and your neighbors by getting vaccinated here in the Commonwealth. The vaccine is free, and it now could be your ticket to winning $1 million.
Listen carefully and watch me wink as I speak, okay?
Okay.
The guy I'm really looking for, wink, is Mr. Bribe, wink, wink.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Are you waging a cyber war against America?
No.
Where is the evidence? Where is proof?
I guess that old expression, the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Ranked choice voting. I didn't know it would be this delicious.
Like an egg salad sandwich on a warm Texas day.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Thief clears shelves at San Francisco Walgreens. Have you seen this video? The guy just walks. I didn't know there were any drugstores left in downtown San Francisco. I thought they'd all gone out of business. This probably was the last one left. And the security guard just watches him because they, you know, they have the one of those George Soros DAs. I think this was actually the child of a couple of weathermen, you know, terrorist bombers from the 70s and 80s. And, you know, he won't prosecute anybody for anything. And so this guy just walks in with a giant tall garbage bag and just fills it full of everything and then goes out on a bike. And that's it. Nothing happens to him. So I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens when the last Walgreens and the last grocery store go out of business. I guess he just figures that, you know, someone will bring in food for him and everybody else in San Francisco who doesn't have a job and hasn't had a job in generations. 844-500-4242. Time now for the Chump Line.
Charlie Parker here. On March 10th, 2020, I initiated a state of emergency for 2 weeks to tamp down the curve. Well, a mere 66 weeks later, or 462 days, I'm still not sure I want to let it go, so I'm going to talk to the legislature.
No, he's not sure he wants to let it go. I'm telling you, good time Charlie's got the blues. At least today, I think they gave him back. Well, he was wearing a tie. I don't know about his belt and his shoelaces, but I think they were gone for a while after he had to announce the impending end of the new Puritan regime that he was attempting to inflict on Massachusetts. No fun allowed whatsoever. No fun allowed.
Biden has a great way for President Clinton to avoid biting off more than he can chew in Lidseria. That would be to stick to the tapioca pudding.
Yeah. The proof is in the pudding, in the eating. Never heard it said quite that way. I kind of understand what he means, but isn't it enough to just say the proof is in the pudding? I mean, it's assumed that when you have pudding, you eat it. So that's where the proof is. You don't need to say in the eating. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, this week celebrating Flag Day and the creation of the Stars and Stripes. We're also saluting Quincy, Massachusetts on their 70th annual Flag Day Parade, the longest running parade of its kind in the nation.
Ira Mayor, I don't get what's the big deal about Jeffrey Toobin. Arim, if I had Zoom, I'd be attending all of my meetings. Sans culottes. Arim, he should be commended. Arim, in fact, since they named a bridge after Chris Cuomo, Arim, then we should name one in honor of Toobin. Arim, the Mystic Toobin Bridge.
That's pretty good. I like that. You know, Aretha Franklin wrote a song about Jeffrey Toobin. Did you know that? Or sang a song. Who's zooming who?
Can Elizabeth Warren take her Vax Millions winnings in wampum?
By the way, Grace and I will be up in Woburn at the 110 Grill on Friday afternoon. Grace will be there from noon on, and I'll be there. I'll probably get there around 2 o'clock. We'll be there from noon to six, both of us. And come on to the 110 Grill. Reservations are recommended, and you don't have to get them, but it's one of the smaller 110 Grills. But come on down and have some food, and you can get free books. Have your picture taken with us, and we'll also have a raffle for two tickets to as VIPs to the Howie Carr Show. That's a $300 value, two tickets. Just get in on the raffle. It's again, noon to six on Friday afternoon, right before Father's Day. We're giving away free books. Get your Father's Day shopping done on the cheap. Some of my books will be available, and we'll give them away free just before Father's Day.
I'm sure the New York Times had a very happy Flag Day.
Yeah, Mara Gay in particular. She's triggered by seeing the American flag. It makes her want to shout explicatives, because she's a very educated woman. She thinks expletives are pronounced explicatives.
Dementia Joe served pancakes for breakfast this morning and asked Jill to pass him the Syria.
Yeah, in case you didn't hear yesterday, he confused Libya and Syria over and over and over again.
Joe Biden is to Vladimir Putin what Bill Nye is to Albert Einstein.
Joe Biden is to Vladimir Putin what Charlie McCarthy was to Edgar Bergen. A ventriloquist dummy, in other words.
I think it's only proper that we observe a moment of solemn silence for the passing of Charlie Parker's state of emergency. And that moment should include the popping of champagne, the clinking of glasses, the removal of plexiglass, and the repeated chanting of hip, hip, hooray.
We have a live recording of the actual announcement with the reaction of the audience, especially to his announcement of the new Vax Millions, the Vaccination Millions Lottery. Only the vaccinated, only the politically correct need apply. If you haven't been vaccinated, you can't play.
The DOJ wants to reinstate the death penalty for the Boston Marathon bomber. Wouldn't it be easier just to put him in a halfway house in Chicago?
That's not a bad point. I've been looking around. I thought Biden said he was opposed to the death penalty, but we can't seem to find the audio of it. But now, of course, Biden has flip-flopped on that, and his Justice Department has announced that the Joker, Tsarnaev, should be executed for his terrorist bombing of the Boston Marathon back in 2013.
Pope Fauci is just going with papal infallibility.
He thinks he's above the Pope, though. You know, I mean, that would be a demotion if he were the Pope. I think he's science, man. Science.
Plug sounds like he's ready for Shady Pines, but Jill's a doctor, so he'll be just fine. He'll keep afloat his sinking boat till 2024, despite his decline.
Yeah. I don't know. In some ways, I'd rather have him in there than Kamala Harris, because, you know, she's a member of more privileged classes than he is. And even though she, I think she might even be worse than him in terms of being president. Although it's really hard to imagine. It's, as the old saying goes, six of one, half dozen of another.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message anytime between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every weekday. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you just want to hear more Chump Line messages, every weekday evening around 7 p.m., we post a different version of the Chump Line, new version, Chopped Chumps. You can get Chopped Chumps wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcasts. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, this week celebrating Flag Day in the creation of the Stars and Stripes. We're also saluting Quincy, Massachusetts on their 70th annual Flag Day Parade, the longest running parade of its kind in the nation.
Dementia Joe served pancakes for breakfast this morning and asked Jill to pass him the Syria.
Oh, boy. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
It's his show, and he knows how to use it.
You turn that microphone on.
You asked for me if you would... I am paying for this microphone, Mr.
Howie Carr returns after this. He's always ready with kind words of advice for the up-and-comers in the biz.
I told you this newspaper racket was a dog's life, fella. Now maybe you believe me. Take these pictures to the Globe and get you $200.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Wholesale prices in May, 6.6% higher than a year ago. So I hate to give you bad news. You've already figured it out, I'm sure. But just to remind you, if you're on a fixed income and prices were up 6.6% from a year ago, that means you've taken a 6.6% cut in your disposable income. And is that worth not having any more mean tweets from Orange Man Bad? Summer is a time for excitement, so try something new with HelloFresh. Choose from more than 27 meals every week, including quick dinners and 10-minute lunches, perfect for switching things up. Get 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you use code Howie12 at HelloFresh.com/Howie12. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should cocktails to go be permanently allowed in Massachusetts?
No, I think not.
57% say yes, they should be.
All right. 844-500-4242. You see this thing about Lordstown Motors. They were going to build electric trucks. They took over an abandoned GM factory in Ohio. It would have been nice if they could have succeeded, but you'll notice I'm using the past tense because it looks like it's another Solyndra. But they've got a new, Wall Street's got this new way to make money. They call it SPACs, S-P-A-C, Special Purpose Acquisition Companies. A SPAC raises cash through an initial public offering and then merges with a startup. This allows a startup to avoid the IPO, initial public offering, regulatory rigmarole, and sometimes make exaggerated projections without incurring liability, i.e. being indicted and sent off to Club Fed. So Lordstown Motors was going to be a gold mine in the form of SPAC. The startup CEO, Steve Burns, and the CFO, Julio Rodriguez, resigned yesterday after a board committee report found the company had made inaccurate statements about sales pre-orders. Last week, the company warned it didn't have enough cash to begin commercial production, and there was a, quote, substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a growing concern. Stop me if you've heard this one before, and again, think Solyndra. So this is the second one of these electric truck companies that appears to be on fumes, and I don't mean fumes from electric power. Electric truck startup Nikola went public through a SPAC, again, Special Purpose Acquisition Company, last year. Questions soon arose over the viability of its technology, and a short seller accused it of fraud, which the company denies. An internal company review found numerous inaccuracies in its statements, and its stock has fallen more than 70% since last June when it started trading on NASDAQ. And then this is the key part of it. Lordstown and Nikola, these are the bust-out electric truck companies, also highlight how government policy is fueling speculation in markets. So, you know, the people who invested in Lordstown and Nikola that got in early, they're not worried about 6.6% inflation because I'm sure they got out quickly, too. The Federal Reserve has made money cheap, and President Biden wants to pour trillions of dollars into green energy. Investors in SPACs bewares. If electric vehicle startups crash and burn down the road, taxpayers will get smashed, too. Well, we'll definitely get smashed one way or another with the Democrats in power. Zebra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, hi, Howie. Thanks for having me on. Hey, we might want to consider Kamala being better than Joe, because Joe, being the old dementia guy, it's tough to beat up on him without looking bad. And Kamala, well, she's universally hated by even people in her own party. She didn't even get one vote number one in New Hampshire. So, she's probably got to think about her career. She'll probably not want to go off the cliff. Like, Joe doesn't even know where the cliff is.
I just don't know, Zebra. I don't. It's really a tough question, isn't it? Which one would be worse? I mean, if she somehow got in there in the first, after Biden had served 2 years, if he could somehow hang on for 2 years, then she could run for re-election twice. She could end up being a 10-year president. Not that I think she would ever get elected on her own, but they're still going to be trying to push through this HR1 so they can steal more elections. They want to do away with all the election integrity. Is SPAC a synonym for pump and dump? I think it amounts to a synonym. Yes, exactly. 844-500-4242. 207 has a good new campaign slogan for the Republicans. Are you better off than you were 4 months ago? You know, Reagan ran as, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Well, this is 4 months. It took Jimmy Carter 4 years. Well, not quite 4 years. It took him a couple of years to really wreck things. It's only taken these people 4 months, and they're just starting. Casper, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Casper.
Hey, Howie, the cocktails to go, as you call them, in Louisiana, we have drive-through daiquiris, and it's just a styrofoam cup with a plastic lid and a straw. But on the top of that straw, it has about 2 inches of paper straw wrapper. And with that, it makes it a closed container in the state of Louisiana. So there's drive-through daiquiri shacks everywhere.
But Casper, how long does the little bit of paper stay on the straw's top?
Until you get home, Howie. And not before.
I know, that's what they tell you on TV, and that's what the politicians who voted for it say, but I'm talking about reality, Casper. How many people do you think immediately get the drive-through daiquiri and immediately start sucking it down?
Well, probably 80%, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and this is statewide, Tuesdays and Thursdays, they have buy one, get one free, so
oh,
you
wow.
get double twice. And it's been this way for years. And, like, yeah, your auto insurance in Louisiana is way more because of all the statistical drunken driving accidents. But, yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, it made Louisiana cool. So you guys should try it out.
I don't know. We used to have happy hour in Massachusetts. Dukakis got back in 82, 83. And that was the first thing he did away with was happy hour. That's what you're talking about, two for one. That's happy hour. It was fun, but it was a problem, too. I'm Howie Carr. A lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. So my advice to you, take your Raycons with you. Whether you're working out to a pumped up playlist or listening to a podcast on your commute, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference. With Raycon, you get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Their wireless earbuds look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors with customizable gel tips for a comfortable in-ear fit. Raycons are built to go wherever wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. And with a 24-hour battery life, they're a must-have for your daily grind all day, every day. Get 15% off Raycon at buyraycon.com/Howie. Raycon has a 45-day happiness guarantee, so give them a try. You'll be surprised you ever went anywhere without them. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for 15% off your order. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We could play more sound every day of Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, but it's just too painful, even if you don't live in New York City. It's an embarrassment that he used to live in Massachusetts. It's an embarrassment to the United States of America that he's the mayor of the largest city. And we're joined now by Seth Baron. He's a great journalist in New York, and you may have seen him on Fox or read his columns in the City Journal, which is a great website, and or the New York Post. He's got a new book out. It's called The Last Days of New York, a reporter's true tale. And it's about Bill de Blasio and what he's done to the city of New York. Seth, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Tremendous pleasure, Howie.
Would Carlos Danger, a.k.a. Anthony Weiner, would he have been elected if he hadn't gotten into that sexting scandal? Would we have been, we meaning all Americans, have been spared this?
Yeah, I think that's actually not a bad supposition. It could well be that he probably would have gotten a lot of the support that went to Bill de Blasio. And if he'd just, you know, kept things together a little bit, we might have been spared the last 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, not that he would have been anything to write home about, but, I mean, de Blasio just has basically no interest in the nuts and bolts of effective governance, does he?
Well, the thing about de Blasio is it's very, people see him as a failure. And that's true. He's been a failure from the perspective of, you know, any New Yorker who wants safe streets or just to live a normal life. But if you're a criminal, if you're a public sector union member, if you're a consultant, or if you're a major developer, well, then Bill de Blasio has been great. He's done everything you wanted him to do. You know, he lets you get out of jail easily. The police don't come after you. If you're in the union, he gives you fat contracts and so forth and so on. And so that's his real constituency. The average New Yorker, no, he hasn't really done a lot for.
But, you know, he can't bear full responsibility for the no bail laws. I mean, that was passed in Albany, wasn't it? I mean, I'm sure he was cheering it on. But, I mean, Cuomo has to, and the legislative leadership have to assume some responsibility for that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, de Blasio is like, I call him the fruit, flower, and fragrance of the progressive ascendancy. So, but there are many things that he's responsible for, too. He decriminalized a lot of quality of life offenses. He put the NYPD under a federal monitor, which gets to scrutinize all of its procedures. He
did away with the terrorism unit, too, didn't he? That was one of the first things he did.
He got rid of the anti-crime unit. He got rid of the what they call the demographic unit, which, yes, looked for terrorists. And there was a terrorist attack under de Blasio. That fellow who ran over a bunch of people on the West Side Highway.
Right.
De Blasio, you can't blame him entirely, but he certainly has done his share, decriminalizing public urination. I mean, what a disgusting thing to do. Getting rid of qualified immunity so police can now be sued. They're personally liable if somebody doesn't like the way they were arrested. That's on him. Closing Rikers Island, that's on him. But no, absolutely, you're totally right. The city and the state are completely controlled by hard left, so-called progressive Democrats, who have codified chaos and essentially made it impossible for the next mayor to rein things in.
Who is going to be the next mayor, by the way? And can you even predict it with this ranked choice voting, which has been such a disaster wherever it's been tried, whether it's California or Maine, or it's going to be a disaster, I'm sure, in Alaska as well. We were lucky to get rid of, to stop it here in Massachusetts. Who do you think is the favorite to become the next mayor?
Well, at this point, it does seem like Eric Adams is leading in the polls. He's the Brooklyn Borough president.
Right.
And
former cop.
People feel former cop, so people feel like maybe he'll do a good job. And given that he's a black man, he won't face the same kinds of racial demagoguery if he cracks down on crime. But he's a very strange fellow. You know, he's been living out of Borough Hall, I think, for the last year. He's an odd duck. The other candidates, nothing too promising. There's this gal, Maya Wiley, who was de Blasio's lawyer. She's atrocious. She's a creation of George Soros.
Oh, God.
Her father founded the National Welfare Rights Organization in the 60s, you know, which was a big, very hard left organization trying to organize welfare recipients as a political force. So this is that. That's where she comes out of, and you know, now she's supposedly gaining momentum. So it's not a pretty picture, Howie.
Is there any way any kind of conservative could be elected in New York City, or even in New York State, for that matter?
Well, you know, I can't say that it's impossible, but it's not looking likely. The problem is, you know, as happened up in your state or in Boston with Mayor Curley many years ago, he drove out all the Protestants who wouldn't vote for him.
Right.
And essentially, we've seen the Democrats in New York driving out anyone who can't stand their policies. So a lot of, you know, they've basically elected a new people. And what we're left with are the people who like it. So
right. the difference
it's hard to imagine.
Seth, the difference in Boston being it's gone now, but as the Yankees retreated, they retained control of the police department, the liquor board, and the finances. You know, so they kind of like built in a buffer. There's none of that in New York, though, is there?
The police are still, you know, pretty solid. But yeah, I would say it's true. I compare it to, you know, what we talked about in Washington over the last 4 years with the deep state. There's a kind of municipal deep state in New York City, comprised of the public sector employees. There's numerous nonprofit organizations that get massive funding from the city and the state, which have tremendous power. Academia, the media. This is a huge nexus of power that can influence the way things work. And the bureaucracy. I can't imagine anyone
right.
coming in and, you know, fighting back against it very effectively, at least not right now.
We're talking to Seth Baron. His new book is The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. De Blasio has talked about running for governor. That's not a realistic possibility, is it, next year?
No, it's an absurdity. He's not very popular in New York City, and he's loathed outside of the city. So, you know, I think he's just playing games and sort of tweaking his former boss, Andrew Cuomo. I mean, they hate each other, so
right.
they're always trying to insults one another.
I remember when he was elected and he just got into office, and it was the winter, obviously. And the first thing he did was he told there was a snowstorm, and he told the plows not to go onto the Upper East Side to somehow punish the most affluent residents of the city. And I still remember that. Why would he do something like that? Throw down the gauntlet to people. I mean, you know, you have a honeymoon period. You want to be nice to everybody, don't you? What the hell was he thinking of?
De Blasio, he doesn't like Manhattan. He hates Manhattan. He's never attended any of the galas or the balls, that, you know, the big charity functions. He just really has a lot of scorn for Manhattan. He always says that he doesn't see the central business district of Manhattan as the end of the center of the universe. No, it's not, sure, but it is the center of New York's revenue.
Right, exactly.
And he has utter scorn for it. I mean, very recently he was imploring people who are upset about things. He said, "Help me redistribute wealth. Help me build affordable housing in white communities." Like, he made this statement. He's a real class and racial warrior, frankly. And he dislikes anybody, you know, the Upper East Side he saw as Bloomberg's area.
But as you said, though, I mean, he's also a friend of the developers. Didn't some parts of Lower Manhattan, weren't there like elderly housing projects or low-income housing projects? And he just let the developers come in and, you know, scatter all these people like he was Robert Moses of a new generation.
Kind of, yeah. You know this stuff pretty well. There was a place, a building on the Lower East Side that had a deed restriction, and he allowed in a very complicated way, he allowed the deed restriction to be lifted, and it all benefited James Capolino, who's, you know, essentially this guy who's at the center of development, real estate and politics in New York City for 50 years, a close advisor to de Blasio. That's the thing, these consultants de Blasio allowed consultants to turn City Hall into a ticket window where they could meet their clients. They could essentially write laws. I mean, it was heavy duty, you know, corruption, basically. He managed to skate. I call him the luckiest mayor in the history of New York City.
Yeah, so many of those assemblymen have gone to prison, the state senators, and he's just gotten away with it.
Well, it's funny. New York State has plenty of law enforcement. But if you look at all of the people who've gone to jail, it's all been federal, because at the city and the state levels, they're all in on it. They're all the Democrats. They all have the same, the district attorneys, the attorney generals, the conflict of interest boards. They're all appointed or elected by the same gang. So the only people who can put anyone in jail are the feds. And de Blasio managed to skate.
You think any of the people in Florida are ever coming back to New York City? Last question.
I wouldn't. I don't see why they would.
I wouldn't either. A lot of them are my neighbors in Florida, and I don't think they're coming back. Everybody's, oh, they'll come back. I don't think so. I don't see it happening. Seth Barrett, I look forward to reading your book, The Last Days of New York, A Reporter's True Tale. And it's just, it's a horrible, sad story, but it's a warning to what the Democrats would like to do to the entire country, I think. Seth Barron, The Last Days of New York, available now. I'm back in New England, and of course, one of the first appointments I had was at Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. I love Florida, but when it comes to my teeth, I wait to come home to the best, Dr. Bruce Houghton. I've said it before, Dr. Houghton is a veneer engineer and a world-class dental artist. I'm not into all these new protocols since the virus, but I have enjoyed a lot of the new procedures that Perfect Smile has put in place. They actually make it easier to go to the dentist and more enjoyable. Many of these new devices put you in a state of total relaxation when you're getting work done on your mouth. If you have put off your dental care for a year, don't wait any longer. So much of your overall health is connected to dental care. If you have problems with your teeth or gums, you're not going to be happy. And the longer you wait, the more painful it's going to be and the more expensive it's going to be to get everything straightened out. That's why you need to make an appointment at Perfect Smiles. From complete reconstructive work to veneers, Perfect Smiles can do it all for you. Getting to Perfect Smiles is easy. It's right off the main drag in Nashua, and parking is plentiful and it's free. I always know I'm in great hands at Perfect Smiles, and that's why I book my appointments way out. Give them a call today at 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE and say hello to Dr. Bruce Houghton and Stephanie and Laurie and everybody else who's there. They're all great. You can also see my before and after videos at perfectsmiles.com. Call them today and don't forget to let them know Howie sent you. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter @HowieCarrShow. You won't regret it. on the radio and on the big screen. Twice.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Say her name, Ashley Babbitt. She was the Trump supporter who was killed on January 6th or January 9th, as Joe Biden says. As she went into the Capitol. She was killed in cold blood by a Capitol police officer who has still not been identified. And yesterday, her husband, Aaron Babbitt, and their lawyer, Terrell Roberts, had a press conference to talk about the fact that they can't get the name of the cop who shot her. There are all kinds of stories about other things that he's supposedly done. I won't get into them, but I'll just let the lawyer, Terrell Roberts, talk about the stonewalling that's going on in the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. I think she was 34, an Air Force veteran and a big Trump supporter, and she was just playing around and having a good time, and this cop shot her in the neck and killed her. She bled out. Cut 7.
So one of the reasons why they're hiding his identity is they don't have a good explanation for this shooting. I think that if Ashley Babbitt had been brandishing a firearm and she was shot, the officer would be identified by now and they'd be pinning a medal on him.
Yep.
So I don't think they have a good explanation for this shooting, and that's why they haven't identified him.
Remember they said, five people were killed. No one was killed except for Ashley Babbitt. They said that the Capitol Police officer Sicknick was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher with an American flag. None of it was true. He died of a stroke. They said there were weapons in the Capitol. They didn't find a single weapon. Here's Ashley Babbitt's widower. Cut 8.
Who shot your wife on January 6th? Do you know?
I don't know. Somebody knows. Somebody up in D.C. knows. I think a lot of people know. But nobody's telling us. And the silence is deafening.
And, of course, there's no interest whatsoever. They're talking about today QAnon. They're still trying to blame everything on QAnon. The AP story I was referring to earlier about Biden was still making the claim that Trump asked Russian intelligence to hack Hillary's emails. Obviously a joke. That everybody's known it's a joke for 5 years, and CNN is still promoting it, but they don't care who killed Ashley Babbitt. Cut 9.
How do you feel about seeing her characterized the way that you have? How do you feel about the total lack of interest in her death?
It sickens me to hear what people say about Ashley. There's never been a person that Ashley ran across in her daily life that didn't love her and wouldn't remember her in some way, shape, or form for the rest of her life. But this is the game. This is the social media craziness that, people just run with a theory and just take off with it. And, it's up to us, it's up to us and the ones that love her and people like you for not giving up on it. So I appreciate that, Tugger.
It's just amazing that there's no curiosity whatsoever about any of this, this news and these events that, damage the, Democrat Party, the big state, the deep state, the big tech narrative. There is no interest whatsoever in it. 844-500-4242. So this is Biden again lying about his great-grandfather. And again, there's no interest in this, obviously. Cut 5. Again, this is like the third or fourth time he's done this. Cut 5.
My dad had a transition where in the city we lived in, coal was dying. It was no longer relevant. Though he was not my great-grandfather was a coal miner. He was a mining engineer, but
how many times does he say that before there's a fact check by the Washington Post or Snopes or Polyfact? I guess he could say it as many times as he wants because he has a D after his name. I'm Howie Carr.